Hello, this is Scott Wells and another episode of The Magic Word. I'm getting ready to head to Midwest Magic Jubilee in St. Louis, and it is, Thursday morning, August the 11th, and we're going to be just hanging out in the President's Club here in Houston right now, getting ready to fly to St. Louis, so should be some fun. Looking forward to just another great convention. Should be a lot of interesting people to talk to. I'm going to have some folks on my talk show later this evening. Not sure who's going to be available, but everybody should be in. Some of the top names that are listed on the calendar of events or talent of is Paul Gardner, and going to be having Simon Lovell, Andrew Goldenhirsch, Sean Farquhar, Eric Buss. Golly, just a bunch of guys. It sounds like it should be a lot of fun, so hope to get around to chat with them to kind of see what's going to be going on, so be sure and stay tuned for that just a little bit later in this broadcast. My flight should be touching down around 1 o'clock, and then going to be shuttled over to the hotel, get checked in, and we'll start the convention then shortly. Thank you guys again for listening. This should be a lot of fun, and until later, Scotty out. Well, the Midwest Magic Jubilee has not begun yet, but I am in St. Louis, and we're here at the, where are we? Is this the Hilton? It is the Hilton. It is Hotels. Okay. I know it seems to change from time to time. And not only am I here at the Hilton where we just checked in, but I also ran into a good friend, Paul Gardner. Hello, Paul.
Hey, how you doing, everyone?
And so I just wanted to chat with him just a little bit. We were just talking about, you know, what a great convention this always is. Now, you've not been here in the past. Let's move over this way a little bit, kind of get out of everyone's way. But have you been to this convention then?
I've been, but it's probably been, it could be 15, 20 years since I was here last.
Probably not the same hotel.
No. I think it's different. Yeah.
I think, didn't they used to meet, I want to say, downtown, like a railway station or something?
I remember something like that, yeah. Yeah. But I've been here, I think, and one time I was in 1978, I remember, and when I was driving across the country at that time. But now, you know, but I've been here since then, but not lately.
And you're going to be performing stage and close-up?
Doing a little stage spot. Yeah, stage spot and close-up, of course, and then doing a lecture.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what's your lecture going to be about?
Lecture is called Original Instructions Not Included. So it's a longer lecture, but I'll take kind of pieces from it. Mm-hmm. And it's basically talking about how you can take certain routines either that you already own and create different ways of using them. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we buy a good trick and we put it in the drawer.
Right.
And we bought it for a good reason because it was really good, but we lose interest in it because of the performance piece around it. So you need a new performance piece.
That's true. You know, whenever that you see it, it's always good whenever the lecturer does. Like, right. Oh, that's great. And then you think you can maybe revise that, right. But you never get back to it, and it stays in the Ziploc bag in the back of your chest of drawers or someplace.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's basically kind of dusting off
a few classic pieces of magic that are out there now and have been out there in the past.
Those are mine.
Okay, so they're not going here with us?
No.
Okay.
taking some of the classics and kind of putting in new presentations. Mm-hmm. You know, another thought might be, there are a lot of things that I do, that I've been doing kind of the same way for 20-plus years, it seems like, you know, of some things that are classic, Bill and Lemon or whatever. So, you know, there are different ways, perhaps, of trying to get a new twist on that. You know, we're always trying to work and, you know, revise this a little bit to try and make it a little bit better. That might be a thought.
Sure.
As well, not only dusting off, old tricks that you haven't done, but also dusting off some old tricks that you have been doing.
Existing routines,
maybe trying to push yourself. Because you're always looking for a different line or something, you shouldn't be doing it the same way necessarily that you've been doing it for 20 years.
Yeah, it's hard to do that. It's very hard, I think, to break away from that muscle memory of the way the trick works, and you get the lines and the laughs and so on like that. But sometimes you come up with a whole different presentation.
That's exactly right. I remember Gene Anderson was talking about going to Bob Fitch's workshop, and he was saying that there was just one thing in which that he just turned one way to set something down and it made all the difference, rather than walking around the table or something. You said, why didn't I think of that? When someone else sees that as a director,
Yeah, it's that other set of eyeballs.
Yeah, exactly. But these are things, again, that all of us have or know. And,
quite a few of them, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're going to be talking about Classic Force or any kind of thing like
usually
that?
I do, in this lecture, I put a little bit of information about the Classic Force and talk a little bit about that and demonstrate that, because people usually ask for that, too.
It's a great little pamphlet that you put together on that. And you're going to have that still available?
Well, actually, the pamphlet's now on DVD.
Oh, is it? Okay.
So we got a nice little DVD with it. Teaches the classic course plus a few other routines also.
Better yet.
Yeah.
So what's in store? What's happening for the rest of this year with you?
Oh, gosh. Just basically finished doing the theater show in Charleston.
Which was called?
Piccolo with Ten Fingers.
Yep.
And I did that in Charleston. And we're talking to a few other places maybe about trying to get it there. But still doing corporate stuff, mm-hmm. you know, trying to keep busy with the trade shows and sales meetings and, you know, making lots of sales calls, quite honestly, yeah.
Yes, yeah. All a numbers game, isn't it?
It is a numbers game, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going in three different directions in my mind here all of a sudden, but about Ten Fingers, let me just ask you that. And now, how large of a theater?
The ideal size is anywhere from like 100 to 250, if it's a nice rate. Theater seating. When we did it in Charleston, it was more of a flat, but we were on enough of an elevated stage, and there was about 165 was mm-hmm. could fit in that. I think 100, yeah, about that, 165. But
and did you four wall it, or did somebody bring you in, or how did that?
This
work?
I was part of the theater festival, so
So
it was
kind
good,
of a fringe,
you know,
festival.
Yeah, it
type
wasn't
of thing-ish?
A fringe exactly, but yeah, it was sort of on that line.
Okay,
but there were a lot of things going on. You know, you were part of the festival, you were in their book. But you were also responsible for kind of getting the word out and getting butts in seats.
Okay. You know, so you had to promote yourself and put ads out
yourself,
and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So we did different techniques for that.
But they provided the theater for it.
They provided
basically.
The theater and
so you didn't have to
technical
lease that
people
or whatever,
and all that stuff.
You didn't have to pay the union people or everything.
No.
That, so,
no. But they got a cut of things. You know, they certainly got their cut. So, you know, so in the end result, you end up with a few bucks.
No, that's good.
Yeah.
Is that something also that you can have back of the room sales type of thing then too?
Technically, if you have someone doing that, but I don't, I didn't really do much of that, no. But I should probably have a DVD teaching some tricks or something like
just
that.
Just something basic, you know?
You know what? It would pay off.
Yeah. I would think so. I mean, you wouldn't have to have much, and the fewer things you have, the less choices they have.
Yeah, that's true.
I have found
that
the more likely they are to buy something. If you've got a lot of stuff that they, it's like, I don't know, I don't take anything. But if it's just like one thing, I want a piece of him, you know, and this is what I'll take.
That's true.
You know?
That's true.
So kind of narrow.
So we usually have a poster, but I should add another little DVD or something like that.
Because,
you know, I mean, $500 in sales from a week would pay for something. I mean, it pays for part of the overhead of the doing the show.
Yep, exactly right. Well, are you going to be at some other conventions later this year then, too?
I'm going to Magic Live just to attend this year. I've usually done a little spot there. But
yes,
not
you have. You're not doing anything
not,
this year?
Not this year. No, nothing planned. And no other conventions. My daughter's getting married in October. And I am running to a convention. October 1st, she's getting married. October 2nd, I'm in Germany. So, but I'm there for the wedding.
Yeah, and then I got to go.
And then I have to go. But I am doing a German convention in Hamburg. Mm-hmm. And then that's in October. And the Canadian convention next year in May, after Fectors, I'm going to run up to do that. And there's another trip to England in there somewhere for another convention. So a number of conventions.
And when you work overseas, let's say like in Italy or Germany or France or something, do you have an interpreter usually for your lectures, performances? Or?
Usually, if they feel that that's needed, they'll have one available.
But most often people speak English as a second
often,
language.
Yeah, that's what we usually find.
Do you feel that you have to slow down a little bit?
I do. I do feel that there's
I talk fast.
Pacing.
I mean, it's hard.
And I feel that, you know, I mean, I feel that I'm slowing down. And intentionally, just to make sure I'm not going a mile a minute.
Right.
Yeah.
A mile a minute.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, you're not a dealer here or anything. Just going to be
not
performing
doing
lecturing.
Not here, but I'm going to do the lecture, so I'll have a few things for sale after that.
Yep.
Sure.
Yep.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Well, great. Good talking to you. We got a lot of stuff happening. People are still strolling in over here.
Coming in. I just checked in myself.
Yep. So good to see you. Thanks very much.
All right.
All right.
See you a little later.
That was Paul Gardner. And for now, this is Scotty out. Well, of all places, where would you think we are right now? The thing has, we just did a little bit of a tech rehearsal then right now. We're still going to be doing some more here shortly, but I just thought I'd come over to the bar, and who did I find but Simon Lovell. Hey, Simon, how are you?
Hey, Scott, how are you doing?
to do better here with the drinking minute.
Good to see you again after Dallas.
Cheers to you, by the way.
Oh,
thank
cheers,
you.
Young sir.
Appreciate the beer.
Oh, you're welcome.
And With Paul, don't want to overlook you because you're still sitting at the bar. He's having a beer with us also. Paul's got nothing to do, so he's just hanging out there.
Paul's been here since 9 o'clock this morning.
That's it's right.
He's turned from the top corporate magician in the world into a hopeless drunk staring at life through the bottom of a beer bottle.
Now, you had to have gone to a lot of bars. You know, at the, no. You had to entertain a lot of people, I would think, certainly at the bar, you know, whenever that you're out traveling about. I mean, not just hospitality suite over the years. That's right. What's been one of the more interesting or fun things that you did then, Paul?
Fun things I did at a bar?
Fun thing you did at a bar, yeah.
Don't mention Detroit.
No.
Detroit.
That was Detroit. You've got a good memory.
Yes, I do.
Is that something we could talk about?
No. No. Okay. No, moving on, Scott. Moving on rapidly.
I can't recall.
It did involve
a bash. It was definitely the Tom Mulligan bash behind a bar, yeah.
And it may have involved a Viking helmet.
Mm-hmm. You know, where everyone performing on that videotape is totally stoned. On the Tom Mulligan's bash videotape.
Well, there goes your clean, pretty boy reputation.
Yeah,
that's gone.
You're not doing that feather act again, are you?
No.
Not the feathers.
So.
So, Simon, gosh, we were going a different direction over there. I was going to ask you, well, we talked last time, of course, about White Collar, and the season is now over.
No, mid-season is now
over. Starting, I guess, next winter. I guess I just saw, I said the season finale, but they're getting ready for the next season already. So.
Well, no, it's the,
second, already in the can.
Second half of season three starts in January.
I'm assuming that he does not go back. He doesn't escape.
That I can't tell you.
Okay.
But I
Neil Caffrey is not going to... he's going to stick around Peter, I guess. He's...
Well, you'll have to wait.
Oh, man, okay.
But I can tell you that I do have... My character comes back.
And, awesome.
And has a nice little speaking role, and I get to threaten Mossy with a gun and get arrested.
Yeah, I saw you, like on the promos, you know, talking about, like, three-card Monty, go to see the real con game, you know, on USA.com or something.
Oh, right. That was the thing we did for NBC Universal, the website.
Thing. Yeah, the website. Yeah.
No,
right.
this is actually on the show.
Actually, you're going to be on the show. Yeah. Sure.
But I can't tell you what's going to happen, but I will tell you, for all the fans of the show, it will be an absolute shocker.
For the whole season?
For the end of season, yeah. It's going to be major... I mean, Elizabeth just got kidnapped.
That's right.
This is going to make that look like Muffin the Mule just drank a bucket of water.
Muffin the Mule
him in the background.
Have another drink of water. There we go. That's good.
There you go, Muff.
Well, it has been a good season. And so, just for those listeners who had not heard before, that you are the consultant from the con man standpoint.
Yeah, and I do some writing for it, and so occasional acty bits for it.
Well, I want to know, does this consultant stuff, does this mean like it's like a
paid
job?
Thing, yeah.
You actually go into an office, like
I
a real
actually,
job?
I actually feel like I've got a proper job.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's a stunner.
It's not really a 9-to-5 thing.
But Paul has now just gone white.
This is amazing.
He's matching the color of his hair.
Yeah.
Oh! Yours is getting there, buddy.
Well, yes.
I stopped dyeing mine, see?
I don't dye mine.
No, I do. I did, but I did mine.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. I had to for about 4 or 5 years.
You vain little
I just
play.
Started.
You.
Yeah, I started doing mine a month ago.
Yeah, but I said,
are you using that ever gray thing
and
or something?
I let it go.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Why'd you decide to stick with gray?
I don't know. I think
it matches
actually,
the face.
The gal that was doing my hair, she retired or she left the shop.
And actually, it's sushi.
It's true.
I think the gray has sushi. I think it looks
works.
Good.
It works for me.
You look very distinguished.
Although I did have somebody tell me, you know, you got to touch that up a little bit lately.
No, I think it looks good now.
Touch up the gray, they did tell me that.
You should tell everyone that we're at the Midwest Magic Jubilee, by the way.
I'm going to be going to print or publish this before midnight tonight, so this will be uploaded soon. So
yes.
Yes, already.
Day one.
Day one, that's right. And it really hadn't even begun yet. I mean, we're just now having our first beer here. Well, yeah. I am.
And the great Mr. Wells is, well, Paul's on his ninth. I'm on my first. The great Mr. Wells is emceeing the evening show tonight, are you not, sir?
Yeah, well, I haven't mentioned that, but yes, I am. I'm emceeing the show, and it should be a good show. We'll see how that all turns out.
And then you're doing your chat show?
With both of you guys then later tonight then, too. And, yeah, and Sean Farquhar, we should be having the four of us, so that should be a nice chat.
Are we allowed to bring our beer?
Yeah, you can. Actually, that is kind of a cool thing, because it's late night. It's exactly right, yeah.
Do you know, I think what's weird, Scott, is that Paul Gertner is actually turning into me, and I'm turning into him.
It's amazing. You have a real job.
And you're drinking beer.
And I'm drinking beer. And that's what this economy will do to you.
That's what this is. Yes, what this economy will do.
Again, what whipsaw back and forth?
I don't know. I moved all my money.
All right, we're back live here again. Seem to have gotten sideways over there. Stopped recording for a moment. But anyhow, we were just... we'll talk about that a little bit later. We were talking about your show
And what
strange and unusual hobbies, and the most unusual thing that ever happened. You said that there was a lady who had...
She stripped off all her clothes while I was wriggling around in a straitjacket, which I don't do the straitjacket anymore, but that's not the reason. But she decided I was in trouble and wanted to distract the audience to help me.
Distract the audience? That was the plan? I mean, she was, so that way you can try to get out of it while they were watching her, basically.
She may have been on... Alcohol may have been involved.
Okay.
But yeah, she... it wouldn't have mattered so much if she'd been attractive. Tragically, she wasn't. so I'm now trying to get out as fast as possible just so I can stop her.
Now, you've not ever had any problems like that, I guess, then, Paul. I mean, because you're working, I'm thinking you, of course, as being like a trade show guru, that you really haven't had business people who have acted crazy. However, during hospitality suites or, you know, at the bars or something, anything kind of strange or unusual that's happened in your case?
No, I work extremely classy corporate events where people don't strip.
And now can we have the truth, your honor?
No.
Oh, come on. It's got to be one or two things that happened.
Never has happened, no.
Oh,
no. They respect me as a performer.
You're really trying to keep a straight face here,
I am.
Well, you know, let me go back to a story that is well-known and is published, but I think most everybody knows, but there may be some people, perhaps, out there in podcast land who have not heard this, who might be younger, and that is that famous story about the salt shaker. And I'd like for you to recount that.
Oh, you mean where the salt shaker disappears? And
sure.
The salt shaker disappears and reappears in the person's hotel room?
That's it.
Which is brilliant,
by
the way.
Yeah, it's a great trick. And... what it is it's a routine I'll do at a hospitality suite in a trade show environment. In other words, if I know someone is going to be at a trade show and a client is there, and we'll go to a dinner at a hotel, and I'll do this vanishing salt shaker under the napkin. But the salt shaker disappears, and when they walk in their hotel room, that salt shaker is sitting on the floor. The key is having it on the floor about 10 feet in front of the door. So they open it up, and it looks like it almost like walked in.
And, you know what's brilliant about that, Paul? And I think you talked about it in a lecture I saw you do once where you mentioned this. What's brilliant about it is that when you just vanish the salt shaker, it's like... It's a magic trick. Now you've given it a reason for being, where they go and they get the second shot,
which is
what makes it great.
Right.
So when you do, have you ever done like cut through ceiling?
I have done that. Yeah. Well, sort of a mirror. I mean, through the window, of course, but not through the ceiling. You're through skylight?
No. What I did, I did choose a card, sign it, blah, 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 blah.
Uh-huh.
Through the, and I said, and your card will appear on the ceiling, and boom, threw it up against the ceiling, no card. I said, oh, man, I throw it too hard. Can you check on the next floor?
Well, on the floor above.
And it was on the ceiling of the floor above, because I'd sneaked it off to a buddy.
Cool.
But it's the same kind of thing, you know, where you just make it ridiculously silly.
Well, I did do what I would claim to be the highest card on the ceiling, higher than Michael Lamar.
Well, he did, like 60-odd feet or something?
I did
a 40-foot.
I did that at the airport one time.
No, I did it higher.
How high?
I did it on the top of the Houston Astrodome. This is true.
Wow, they can't even hit a baseball up that high.
No, I put a card on top of the Houston Astrodome.
Wow.
Yeah, you didn't throw it there, did you?
No, we walked out. I was out on the catwalk.
Catwalk, yeah.
I actually went out on the catwalk at the very top of the Houston Astrodome and did the card on the ceiling routine. And
now, do you hand them like a pair of binoculars or something?
No, we weren't doing it for a trick. I was taking a look at the dome for a possible show with the people who were marketers for the Houston Astrodome.
It's actually cool just to have done it at the Houston Astrodome.
We got permission to go out on the catwalk to go to the very top to see how long it would take if people could actually rappel down to the floor. And while we were up there, I thought, I'll do the card on the ceiling. And I did.
Yeah. So you've got the highest
one?
I've got the highest one. It's still up there. They tore it down, didn't they?
No, still. I'm going to go look. It's still there. It is still there.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, this is up in the very top.
Wow.
Towards the middle or whereabouts?
It's in the dead center. That's the catwalk goes right out to the dead center.
I'm going
to
check that one back home.
That makes my card through double ceiling look pretty pathetic.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny.
So, hey, Scott, by the way, you asked us both what's the worst thing that's happened on stage. What's the worst thing that's happened to you?
Well, I had a funny thing. You're talking about a stripper, of course, that reminds me of one that happened during my show at the Magic Island many years ago, in which I had someone come up on a... You know, it used to be at the Magic Island that we would do several shows. We would do a half dozen stage shows a night. I remember Roger Klaus...
The Magic Castle, right?
I remember... Well, you're kind of limited to three, don't they? You know, they have come by contract. That was just by three shows a night, don't they?
Yeah, but then they add extra ones.
Okay. Because I remember at the close-up that Roger Klaus, one time, it was like, I don't know, 1:30, 2 in the morning, and he said, look, 21 shows and I'm done. He said, I'm finished. There's no more shows. He'd done 21 close-up shows. Anyhow, so we were... it was late at night, and I had been using a Lotta bowl and some silks, and so I was I was doing that, and had a guy on one side and a lady on the other one. And whenever I was turning to talk with the guy, the lady started to take off her clothes, and she was starting to unbutton
for no
apparent reason other than just that she was on stage and she thought, well, I've got an audience, you know. And she was rather attractive, but I thought, you know, this is really not the right place. And I could have stopped and said, let's continue. And speaking of which, here's my lovely wife, Kathy. Hey there.
You can sign me a big hug. Hiya, darling.
Where is this room?
116, right straight down that way. Okay. You can't miss it. Yeah, you going to say hello to Paul?
Hi, how are you doing?
See you. And so then, let me just finish my story, that we were, so this girl started taking up, so I turned around to tell her to put her clothes back on. As she's doing that, this other guy starts messing with my Lotta bowl. He starts pouring my water. He starts, you know, picking up the scarves and trying to tie them together. And I said, no. And I turn back around, and then as I'm doing that, the lady starts to unbutton again. And it went back and forth at least a half dozen times, and I had people who worked at the island who talked about that for years. They said that was about the funniest moment. I mean, it couldn't have been scripted, you know. Better. I mean, finally they both stopped and I had them sit back down, but I mean, it was a very funny, very funny moment.
But you know something, Scott? I'll tell you, and I'm sure Paul and you will agree, the difference between a professional magician and somebody who's not experienced is how to deal with situations like that, because they can turn into some of the funniest, most brilliant things where you're just standing there going, why doesn't somebody have a camera? Or the poor guy that's just starting out will be trying to stick to his script and panicking and stumbling and going, no, this is not my routine. You have to be able to free flow with audiences.
Right. It's like hecklers in the audience, or, you know,
sure,
which I would think you would get from time to time, you know, in the city.
Well, rarely these days, because I've got a bit of a reputation now for being very brutal on hecklers.
And putting them down.
So most people know that I don't do pretty boy heckle stoppers. You know, like, oh, lean against the wall, that's plastered as well. No, I don't do things like that.
What is your favorite put-down line?
Oh, I don't think it's suitable for your podcast. No.
You can say frack.
No, that actually is a much worse word.
Okay, then.
I'll leave it at that. If you heckle me and somebody's seen me before with a heckler, you'll just see them go, oh, God. Look.
He's in trouble. So you do have a lot of repeat customers. People come back time and time again.
Loads of times, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, no, look, because it changes every week, you know.
Right. Now, do you script part of it or each week, or, again, you say it's kind of jazz type of...
the gambling bit is pretty scripted. You know, the seconds, bottoms, and things like that thing. The opening trick is scripted, and the closing trick is scripted, because that really has to be. I think you'd agree with that, Paul. I mean, if you're going to switch around any backwards and forwards, at least your opening and closing has to tie. But in the middle, now I read a couple of papers on the, in the subway on the way in there, and I'll often do 20 minutes on what's in the paper.
Just local headline news and funny stuff.
Oh, national news.
Yeah.
I mean,
I
did a thing this Saturday all about the economy, Obama, and...
I thought one of the funniest things I just heard on the news, and I couldn't write this, but it was funny, you know, about the riots in London going on then right now.
Yeah.
And they said of all the stores, you know, in this mall that were all broken in, they were showing the glass and everything, they skipped the bookstore.
The bookstore, yeah.
My wife and I watched
that. I loved
that. That was great.
I loved so much on that.
The bookstore.
And the only problem with improv stuff, though, and stuff that's very up-to-date, is you've only got like 2 weeks on it.
Right.
And sometimes you'll come up with an idea that you think is absolutely brilliant.
Right.
And you've got 2 weeks on it, and then it's dead. You can't use it anymore.
It's topical at that moment.
Yeah.
That's right.
But it's only funny because it's topical.
Yeah. Well, we're going to say some of this for tonight. We're going to be chatting some more about some stuff like this.
Oh,
this is the
right.
kind of
we're
thing
doing,
we're going to be doing.
We're doing your...
That's right. That's why Johnny Carson didn't meet these guys a lot of times and talk in the green rooms. That way it was more fresh, you know. But we got so much to talk about.
Paul and I are fresher than fresh things with a big
I'll chat with both of you guys.
Freshness
I love
on
you
top.
Guys. I love you. Simon, you're just great.
Scott Wells just kissed me, podcast listeners.
On the cheek. That's right. And Paul's too far away, or I'd give him one on the nose there. A little peck. All righty. That's enough for now. You guys are going to get an inside scoop. Talk to you later.